Hey, it's Melissa. You know, a little help goes a long way when you're rebuilding your life after the death of your spouse. That's why we've put together some amazing free resources just for you. They're packed with guidance and the answers you've been looking for. So let's begin this journey of renewal together. Head over to widowsquad.com, click on freebies, and unlock these powerful tools. Your journey to a brighter future begins here. Now let's get back to the show.
You are listening to the Widow Squad podcast, the show that helps widows create a fulfilling life after loss. Join hosts Kim Murray and Melissa Pierce as they share expert tips, resources, and advice to help you get a grip on your grief and learn how to thrive. If you're a widow, this is where you want to be.
Hello there. It's Melissa welcoming you to another episode of the Widow Squad podcast. Today, we're tackling a topic that's both deeply personal and vitally important for anyone navigating the aftermath of the death of their spouse or life partner. It's five things you need to heal after your spouse dies. If there's one thing I've learned on this journey, and it's a journey, it's that grieving the death of your person isn't linear, and it doesn't come with a one-size-fits-all manual. It's messy. It's tough, and it's deeply personal. But through all that, there are some common threads that I've found, not just in my own story, but in the many conversations I've had with others walking this path. So today, I am going to share some insights that have made a significant difference for me and for many others. This isn't about prescribing a quick fix. It's about sharing experiences, offering support, and maybe shedding some light on something that could make your journey a little bit easier. So grab a cup of coffee or whatever comforts you, and let's talk about navigating this incredibly challenging part of our lives with a little more understanding and a lot more compassion for ourselves and for each other. So first, the first thing I believe that you need to heal is the way you talk to yourself. So honestly, when Dave died, it felt like my world turned upside down. Suddenly, it was just me and our boys, and let me tell you, that was rough. I always thought I was a pretty strong person, but losing Dave, well, that really tested every bit of that strength. And here's something I didn't expect. I started noticing how tough I was on myself. I mean, we're talking really harsh. Dave and I were a team, right? And so when he wasn't there anymore, it really hit me. The way I was talking to myself wasn't doing me any favors. It was like I was kicking myself when I was already down. So I tried something. It's a little bit out there, but stick with me. I recorded myself saying some genuinely nice things about me. And that might sound weird, right? But here's the thing. Listening to those recordings, hearing my own voice being kind to me, it was a game changer. I'd play them back, especially on those really tough days. And it was like having a mini cheerleader in my pocket. It helped shift that inner voice from being my own worst critic to something more like a supportive friend. It's not about being delusional or ignoring the pain. It's about giving yourself the same kindness and support you'd offer a friend going through a rough time. And believe it or not, it does make a difference. So if you find yourself being really hard on yourself, maybe give it a try. Record those kind words on your phone, listen back, and just let that kindness seep in. It's one step, but it's a step towards healing. So the second thing is you've got to heal that part of you that thinks putting yourself first is selfish. Okay, so here's something I had to learn the hard way, and I mean the really hard way. After Dave died, my life became this juggling act. Like picture this, spinning all these plates in the air, working full-time, getting dinner on the table, managing the bills, tackling the endless grocery shopping, and let's not forget the whirlwind of solo parenting. I was a solo parent to our two boys, so there was homework, there was carpooling, there were basketball games, there were soccer practices, you name it. And I was trying to keep all these plates spinning in the air, and honestly, it was impossible. I mean, seriously, how was I expected to do all of that and not drop a single plate? And spoiler alert, I couldn't. So I found myself constantly running on empty, putting myself last on that endless to-do list. And guess what? That didn't work out so well. I hit what you might call a rock bottom. And when it hit me, I had to make a change, a really big one. So I made this bold decision to start putting my needs first. Sounds simple, right? But for anyone who's been there, you know, it feels like you're trying to rewrite the laws of physics or something. It felt to me almost rebellious, like I was breaking some unwritten rule that said, putting yourself first is selfish. But here's the kicker. It's not. Once I started filling my own bucket first, everything shifted. It wasn't overnight, but slowly I became a more caring, a more present, and yes, a more effective parent to my boys. It turns out that self-care isn't just about indulging yourself. It's about equipping yourself. It's about making sure you're not running on fumes when everyone else needs you. So let me lay it out straight here. Self-care is not selfish. It is necessary. It's like if you're not taking care of you, how in the world are you supposed to take care of anyone else? And it's not about bubble baths and spa days and all that stuff. It's about making sure your needs, your emotional needs, your physical needs, your spiritual needs are met. It's about giving yourself permission to rest, to say no, to do whatever it is that refills your tank. So if you're out there thinking you've got to put the world before yourself, let me be the one to tell you, it's okay to put yourself first. Actually, it's more than okay. It's crucial, because when you're taken care of, everything else kind of starts to fall into place. So trust me on this point. So we're to number three. You also need to heal the way you think about challenging emotions. Now, it might sound a bit like what everyone's saying these days, but hear me out, because it's solid gold. You've got to feel your feelings, and I'm doing air quotes. You've got to feel your feelings. Yeah, I know it sounds like something straight out of a self-help book, but stick with me. As a new widow, my emotions were like a pinball machine, bouncing all over the place. And honestly, dealing with them felt like one more thing on my already overflowing plate that was spinning in the air. I mean, you know, who has time to sit and unpack their feelings when there's mac and cheese to be made and new math to learn? So you can help with homework, right? So my initial thought, dealing with my emotions, I don't think there's room for that. But here's the thing I learned. Avoiding those challenging emotions doesn't make them go away. It actually kind of does the opposite. It's like when you're trying to ignore a telemarketer call. It just keeps ringing and ringing, disrupting your dinner, your peace. So I decided to try something different. I gave myself permission to sit with my feelings, to really dive into them, no matter how uncomfortable it was. And let me tell you, it was no day at the beach. It was tough and it was messy. But something incredible happened when I allowed myself to feel, just to feel whatever was coming up. Those emotions, they didn't stay stuck. They moved through me. They didn't set up camp and they didn't take over my life like I was afraid they would. By facing them head on, I started feeling less stuck. I began to regain the confidence I thought was lost for good. It was like I was still me, but also I was changing. I was shedding parts of myself that weren't really helping. You know, those bits that were all about being hard on myself. And in their place, I was growing a new layer of compassion, not just for others, but for me too. The whole, you know, feel your feelings thing, it's about giving yourself the space to heal, to really understand that it's okay to be a mess sometimes. Because in those messy moments that we find our strength and we learn to be kinder to ourselves, we start to see that it's possible to be broken and whole at the same time. I mean, that's the beauty of this journey. If there is some beauty in this, it's not about getting back to who you were before your loss, the loss of your person. It's about becoming, well, it's about becoming who you are meant to be after. So if you're shoving those tough emotions into a corner, thinking you don't have time for them, I'm here to tell you it's worth making the time. It's not just about healing, it's about transforming. And trust me, on the other side of those feelings, there's a version of you that's more compassionate, that's more resilient, and more you than ever. So tip number four is a good one. Remember that you always don't have to push so hard, or you don't always have to push so hard. All right, okay, so let's tackle something that I bet we all need to hear more often, especially when navigating through grief and loss. You don't always have to push so hard. I mean, seriously, this is a big one. So life, with all its ups and downs, it doesn't pause. It keeps rolling day in and day out, and sometimes it feels like we've got to keep up or we'll get left behind. So here's a little nugget of truth I've come to realize. Taking a break, doing something that genuinely feels good to you and feeds your soul isn't just okay, it's absolutely essential. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you really checked in with yourself? I mean, you really asked yourself, what makes me feel good? What do I need right now, this very second? You know, it sounds simple, but how often do we do it? We're so caught up in the hustle of getting through the day, especially after losing your life partner or your spouse, that we forget to listen to what our body and our heart and our soul are whispering to us. So, what's it saying? Well, maybe it's telling you, hey, I could really use a nap, or I need to just step outside and take a deep breath of fresh air. Or it might be saying, I need a good long hug, or maybe it's time to call up a grief ally and just talk it out. So whatever it is, give yourself permission to listen and then act on it. You know, I've been there thinking I had to keep all the plates spinning all the time. But here's the thing, moving through grief, through this monumental change in your life, it's hard. And you're doing an incredible job at it, just being here by facing each day. But you don't have to be on all the time. It's not just okay to take a step back. It's really necessary. So give yourself the space to breathe and to feel and to just be. Go really easy on yourself. There's this idea out there that we have to be superhuman, that showing ourselves kindness and patience is somehow a sign of weakness. But trust me, it's the exact opposite. Loving yourself through this, allowing yourself moments of rest and joy, though, you know, that's where your true strength lies. Remember, this isn't a race. There's no finish line you're trying to cross. It's more like a meandering path with plenty of spots to pause and look around and just take it all in. So next time you feel that push to keep going, when you're really kind of running on empty, ask yourself what you really need in that moment and then do it, because you deserve that kindness. I mean, you deserve to move through this at your own pace with all the gentleness and all the love in the world. So here we are at our final point, and it's a biggie. It's about rethinking the way we view grief and loss itself. So Dave's death was a seismic shift in my life, a before and after moment that just forever changed who I am. But here's the thing, I didn't just change, I grew. I became more compassionate, not just towards others, but mainly towards myself. I learned to trust my gut, my intuition, my inner wisdom, to really listen to that inner voice when making decisions, whether they were big or small. And maybe most importantly, I learned it's okay to ask for help. I mean, this journey of grief and loss, it's taught me that it doesn't have to just be about grief and loss. It can also be about discovery, discovering the strength you never knew you had, discovering new depths of compassion, and discovering that even in the middle of grief, there's room for hope. Yep, grief and hope can coexist. It's not easy, and yes, it takes work, but it is possible. And you don't have to do it alone. There are people out there, myself and Kim included, who walk this path and can help guide you through. I want you to know something really, really important. Feeling joy, thriving, living a beautiful life, it's not just something for other people. It's your birthright too. And even after a devastating, life-altering loss, you can find a way back to joy. It's not about forgetting. It's about weaving your loss into the fabric of who you are now and moving forward with that knowledge that love, and yes, that pain is part of your story. So as we wrap up today, I want to leave you with this. Take care of yourself. Really, truly, take care of yourself. Your journey through grief is uniquely yours, but you're not alone on it. There's a whole community here ready to support you, to lift you up, and to walk with you towards that light of hope and joy. And remember, healing is not just about moving past loss. It's about moving forward with it, letting it shape you into someone who understands the depth of sorrow, the strength of survival, and the possibility of joy that lies ahead. So again, take care of yourself because you deserve every bit of compassion, love, and joy that life has to offer. So if today's episode resonated with you, or if there's someone you know who could benefit from this conversation, please share it. And if you have a moment, we'd be incredibly grateful if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback not only helps us grow and reach more people who might need to hear these messages, but it also lets us know what's hitting home for you. Plus, we love reading your thoughts and reflections. It's what makes this Widow Squad community so special. So this is Melissa Pierce, signing off from the Widow Squad podcast. Keep moving forward one step at a time. Hey, it's Melissa. If you've been searching for a place to connect with like-minded widows, to build friendships, grow your confidence for doing hard things, and inspire healing after loss, we invite you to join the Widow Squad community at widowsquad.com. This special widow membership is made up of widows just like you, learning how to move through grief in healthy, self-affirming ways to create a life to thrive in. And we're doing it together. Go to widowsquad.com to learn more.